from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome back. Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Going to be joined here by Paul Bredel, ESPN Lacrosse. Talk about the latest from training camp, and all of our football coverage in WSSP is promoted, or should be, I should say, presented by there. All of our football coverage on WSSP is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. That's T-Mobile.com/switch. Joining us now, the aforementioned Paul Bredel. Follow him on Twitter at Paul_Bredel. Paul, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, Sparky. Always happy to talk Packers with you.
Hey, okay, so let's talk about what we've seen here at training camp. I was kind of following along from down here in Milwaukee as far as what y'all were tweeting about up there at practice today. So a longer practice today. Really hot weather. Did we see any cases of cramping or guys falling out because they can't handle it or anything like that?
Nope. Everyone was hanging tough out there. And yeah, today's practice, I think, went 2 hours, 8 minutes, longest one of training camp. And yeah, as I'm sure everyone across Wisconsin is feeling right now, the heat is very real. You know, before practice, Matt LaFleur mentioned that this was going to be a good test for everyone in terms of making sure that they put in the proper work beforehand from hydration standpoint, what they're putting in their bodies. But in terms of what we saw on the field, you know, regardless of the temperature, it looked like a high level of play from both sides.
The other thing when we talk about today's practice, because I feel like it's necessary, it appears Sean Clifford didn't stink today. And that should be highlighted, I think, for the most part, because he has stunk for, you know, through OTAs and training camp to this point.
Yeah, today was definitely a better performance from him, and I thought that yesterday as well. He you know, turned it around after those initial practices, and from my vantage point, I think a lot of that is being traced back to the play of the offensive line. Not to say that it's perfect, not to say that there isn't room for improvement, but it's definitely getting better. And when Clifford was throwing those interceptions early on, it definitely felt like, you know, he was, you know, pressing to a degree because the offense was struggling. It was difficult to move the ball. And so he was trying to make something happen and making some throws that he probably shouldn't have been making. But as the offensive line settled in, he's getting into a rhythm. He's able to get the ball out on time, and we're seeing him find that success.
Paul, when we talk about that offensive line, no Zach Tom out there at right tackle. Who is Telford? Because I'm sure most people on Twitter are going, who is this Telford character?
Yeah, so Telford was on the practice squad last year. He signed after the 23 draft as an undrafted rookie. Like I said, spent all last season with the Packers on the practice squad. And right now, that swing tackle role, Adam Stenovich talked about this on Monday, it's very much up for grabs. Stenovich mentioned Telford, Andre Dillard, Luke Tenuta, Caleb Jones, all competing for that spot. But right now, at least from our perspective, it definitely looked like Kadeem Telford is the front runner for it. He spent, and this has been going back 5-6 practices of the 8 of them so far, he spent the majority of the time at that right tackle spot with Zach Tom not participating in the team portion. We're occasionally seeing Andre Dillard worked in there as well, but he appears to be the front runner at the moment. And I talked to him at his locker last week, and he said, we all know how Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks went down to South Florida and worked out this offseason together. Kadeem Telford was with him. He said a big emphasis for him this offseason was on footwork, so he got in some work with the receivers. And Adam Stenovich spoke really highly of him on Monday. He said he's not necessarily the most athletic offensive lineman you're going to see, but he's extremely consistent. And especially when you're talking about a key position like tackle, someone who could potentially be reliable off the bench if needed in a pinch. I mean, consistency is what you want. So if you're out there filling out your 53-man rosters, I would definitely consider having Kadeem Telford on it, because during the offseason portion, two OTAs and minicamp, they were giving him some work at guard. And while tackle is his primary position, we all know how important that versatility is. So the fact that he showed enough where the Packers wanted to give him a chance there, he said it was a tremendous learning opportunity for him. Gave him a better understanding of the offense as a whole and what's being accomplished and what the responsibilities are. So it sounded really beneficial. So he's definitely someone who's making some noise, and they keep saying it's going to be a rotation at that right tackle for that swing tackle role, that first offensive tackle off the bench. But like I said, right now it really looks like Kadeem Telford has a hold on it.
What happened to Caleb Jones? The man is a massive humanity. I had high hopes for Caleb Jones, and it seems like he is not getting better based on what you're telling me.
Yeah, he's back now on the football field, but he missed the first few practices with an injury. And I know he had some injuries last offseason as well, or last training camp, that kept him sidelined. And so he missed a few practices there. And then even when he was back on the field, he was only getting into the individual portion of it. So it's only been the last 2 or 3 days that he's actually been participating in the team portion, but he's been out there mostly at left tackle or right tackle. He's been playing both with the second team offense, sometimes the third team. My guess right now, and again, I'm only going off of what we've seen and what we're hearing, because like I said, they want to get that rotation going. I'm wondering if they're working him up to give him some opportunities with the ones, but right now it doesn't look like that's coming. Like I said, that job looks like right now it belongs to Telford.
Talking with Paul Bredel, ESPN Lacrosse. And again, check him out on Twitter at Paul_Bredel. He's there every day at Packers training camp, whether it's torrential downpours, whether it's hot weather. The Packers apparently are going to practice in whatever, you know, Mother Nature gives them on a day-to-day basis. What about Jordan Love? He comes back in the first half of the first practice, struggles, then he gets going and looks more like we saw Jordan Love last year. I don't feel like he's been necessarily the last two practices.
Yeah, he's picking up momentum, and I think that's the gist for the offense as a whole. Like I said, you know, even with a player of Jordan Love's caliber, you know, when the offensive line is getting beat within a second or two, I mean, it's really tough to get things going. But we're seeing the offensive line play level out, and with that, Jordan Love's play is picking up as well, as you'd expect from any quarterback. But, you know, when we first saw Love back on the practice field, there was this one play, and it's not anything that's going to garner a ton of attention or be a highlight play, but it just shows the absolute command and control that he has of the offense and that he's in. Carl Brooks had an immediate pressure, and I mean immediate. It felt like within a second he was in the backfield. Love's ability to just recognize that, to get out of the pocket, and then to dump it off, knowing where his outlet pass was to Josh Jacobs in the flat. And again, like I said, it picked up maybe 5, 6, 7 yards, nothing highlight worthy, but that recognition, that command, knowing where to go, knowing where everyone's going to be positioned on the field. I mean, that speaks to the level that he's playing at right now, the confidence that he has. Matt LaFleur talked about the control he's playing with within this offense. And I thought that was just a prime example of that, especially after having a few practices where we didn't see that ability on the practice field. What I will say is during the 2-minute drill today, he was very, very good. He was 5 of 6, leading the offense down the field, 65 yards for the touchdown. And this included a scrambling out of the pocket when the pressure collapsed it, directing Jaden Reed, connecting with him for 17 yards on the touchdown pass. He was able to fit the ball between Dontavian Wicks between the two safeties. And then the Packers went for two in that situation. And there was quick pressure from Lucas Van Ness. Jordan Love backpedaled and off his back foot just delivered an absolute strike to Dontavian Wicks between two defenders. Again, it was a really, really impressive play. And again, being able to avoid that pressure, knowing where to go, being able to make that type of throw in that situation, like I said, with the defense closing down on him, a really, really impressive play.
Let's talk about Grant DuBose, wide receiver, forgotten about, seventh round pick last year by the Packers, and didn't play for a majority of last year, battling injury. And Matt LaFleur talked about him a little as well and his progress. And I saw, again, following everybody on social media, that he had a brief stint rotating in with the ones today.
Yeah, he did. I mean, Grant DuBose has impressed since the offseason programs, OTAs and minicamp. I mean, during that time, you could see someone, a second-year player coming out of the offseason who just looked more refined out there. He looked more comfortable, as you would expect with many second-year players with their familiarity with the offense. But during OTAs and minicamp, I mean, he was emerging at that time as a favorite target of Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt's with the second, third team offenses. And he's parlayed that momentum here into training camp. Seems like he's...
From the mind of a 2-foot tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Making a catch or two every single day, and the play of the day came from Grant DuBose and Sean Clifford. They were doing a team drill. Sean Clifford got a offsides. It was a free play, and Clifford put the ball between the two defenders down the right sideline to DuBose, and he just went up, skied for it, plucked it away from Zane Anderson, the safety, and I can't remember who the cornerback was, but just a really impressive play. And we talked to him in the locker room after practice, and he said those are just the type of plays that he made throughout his career at Charlotte. But he was also over the offseason working out with Wicks and Jaden Reed. He said it was really valuable having last season on the practice squad and being a part of the scout team offense. So all last season, again, he's getting more familiar with the offense, and he's going up against Jair Alexander, Carrington Valentine, Eric Stokes. He's going up against these guys in practice all season when he's on the practice squad. So it was really, really good for his development to have that opportunity to learn and grow. And right now we're seeing someone who's looks to be making a jump in their second season. And Adam Stenovich talked about this as well. Obviously we see the big passing plays, but he said Grant DuBose is very much someone who's willing to block, be aggressive in the run game, and they've been impressed with him in that regard. And we all know how important that is in the Fleur offense.
Okay, well, I didn't have him penciled in as a possibility in this rotation of wide receivers. He's a bigger dude too, 6'2", 200 pounds. So whose job then is in jeopardy if he makes this squad?
I think if he makes the team and they're keeping six like they have traditionally, to me, that last spot's going to be between him and Malik Heath. I think Bo Melton is pretty much locked into a roster spot right now. I think Malik Heath is the one who DeBose is going to be competing with. And Heath has had, he's had an up-and-down training camp to start so far. I mean, he's certainly made some nice plays during one-on-ones today. He won downfield on his rep, a really impressive play. But he's had some drops mixed in there as well. So I think if you know, it's going to be important for Heath, obviously, to find that consistency from practice to practice in terms of how he's producing in the passing game. But if the Packers are going to go ahead and keep six, to me, it's between those two guys right now.
How's Isaiah McDuffie been looking? From what I saw today, he's still stuffing the run rather well, just like he did last year for the Packers.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll just speak to the linebacker position and the safety position as a whole. The amount of players we see around the line of scrimmage at these practices is astounding. It's eye-popping. I mean, the Packers trying to run outside or screens or throws to the flat, like, those plays on offense aren't going anywhere, and it's because of players like McDuffie, like I said, the linebackers, the safeties, they are flying to the line of scrimmage. And McDuffie, he's a starter right now. I mean, when they're out there in their base 4-3 defense, it's been Quay Walker in the middle, McDuffie to his left, and then it's been starting with Eric Wilson, and then the second time through, Edgerrin Cooper's been rotating in for Eric Wilson. And then when they go to nickel, which is where 70-80% of the snaps are going to come from, and there's only two linebackers on the field, it's been Quay Walker and Isaiah McDuffie. So he, to me right now, is very much penciled in to, he's going to be one of the starters this season. He's going to have a big, big role on this defense. And, you know, his strength and what he's shown us in the past is, like you mentioned, Sparky, his ability against the run game, has a great nose for it. He has really, really good speed as well, able to flow sideline to sideline, brings a steady presence to that linebacker position.
But he's undersized. So what's the negative of having him out there because he's undersized?
I mean, I think any time with an undersized player, you wonder about their ability to get off blocks, to shed blocks, especially with his role as what it's been as a strong side linebacker, helping out in the run game. But, I mean, this run game role that we're talking about, that's been his responsibility last season. You know, when it was obvious passing downs when he was in the game, they would bring in Eric Wilson. So this is a role that he's used to. His last season at Boston College was played when Jeff Hafley was the head coach in his first season, so there's already some familiarity for him and what he's asked to do in this defense as they're diving into it more as we get further into training camp. I think as we get further into this, again, I think with McDuffie, the question more so for me from what we want to see is the coverage aspect of it. You know, if he's your primary nickel linebacker out there with Quay Walker, how is he going to hold up in coverage? Because, again, the run game responsibility is what he's primarily had up to this point in his time with the Packers.
I got to talk about A.J. Dillon, Paul Bridle. Just have to do it because everybody's talking about how much better he looks, how much quicker he looks, being able to get to the corner now. You're up there. You've seen him the last couple of years. Talk about his body transformation and how much different he looks for Packer fans that obviously don't get to training camp.
Yeah, so back in, I think it was April now, or May, the first OTA practice we could go to, there were three players who, when we're on the sidelines and we're looking out, that you can go, oh, they look different. This is the first time we've seen them coming out of the offseason. It was Kobe Wooden, Carrington Valentine, both of whom bulked up, and A.J. Dillon, who looks much more trim, but still has that A.J. Dillon muscle that we're all accustomed to seeing. And yes, you can see that burst. There's been a few runs where he hits the hole in the middle and just takes off. And really looking back at last season, the season before that even, I mean, that's the element that was missing, that juice, that burst from his game. I think last year he averaged 3.4 yards per rush. So going from 250 pounds to 245 like he did, going from 9% body fat to 4 or 5% body fat, like he told us.
That's what it is? That's the difference?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
I mean, Matt LaFleur even said he's got a six-pack right now, that A.J. Dillon. And
wow.
So you can see the physical difference in him. You can see the burst. But when I talk about A.J. Dillon, to me, getting that playmaking out of him, it's twofold. Obviously, being in terrific shape helps. But like I talked with him about this last summer, last training camp. He was trying to be, and this is referring to the 2022 season, but we saw it last year as well, he was trying to be perfect. He was trying to do everything perfectly, and anyone who's played sports knows if you go out there and you're overthinking, you're not just naturally reacting, you tend to play a little bit slower.
Yep.
And Ben Sermons, the running back coach, talked about this last year as well, and he has a great one-liner, when you think, you stink. And so I think a big part of us seeing A.J. Dillon getting back to, you know, that rookie year against the Tennessee Titans type version of A.J. Dillon, again, being in great shape obviously helps. but going out there and just reacting, letting his natural abilities take over. Because if you add that burst to what I think is an extremely well-rounded skill set, I mean, this is his fifth year in the offense. He knows this offense inside and out. He's proven to be, even though the juice isn't there, a capable ball carrier, a very capable pass blocker, capable pass catcher. I mean, when you have that well-rounded skill set and you can bring some juice to the position, there's definitely a role for him on this team.
You say there's a role. Does that mean he's locked in your opinion, right now, as far as he's got a roster spot, or do you think it's still going to be determined based on preseason games?
So I think if I was filling out a roster spot right now, yes, I would have A.J. Dillon on it. We know Josh Jacobs is going to be on the team. We know Marshawn Lloyd's going to be on the team. It's A.J. Dillon or Emmanuel Wilson. And I do think, you know, and then a credit to Emmanuel Wilson. I mean, the opportunities he's had when the offensive line has been able to create some room, we see that burst, those glimpses that we saw of him last season. But I really think the differentiator between the two is going to be Dillon's, that he's more refined, again, as a pass catcher and a pass blocker. Matt LaFleur talked about last year, and I know that's several months ago now. Obviously, Wilson has had time to work on those elements of his game, but Matt LaFleur always talked about that as an undrafted rookie coming in from a Division II school. The pass blocking element, the pass catching element, special teams contributions. I mean, those were the areas where where Wilson had to really work on if he's going to see snaps. And I think that those are areas where Dillon's really solid. And so I think it's going to be I think the Packers right now, based on what we've seen, would go with Dillon because of how he performs in those areas.
Paul Brettel, ESPN Lacrosse, giving you play-by-play of what's going on at training camp, games, the whole deal. Follow him on Twitter at Paul_Brettel. He's awesome. Paul, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Sparky. Take care.
You betcha. Take care. There he is, Paul Brettel. I will say that sometimes when you realize that you're on your last life somewhere, but this is it, figure it out or you're out. Sometimes it remotivates you to reanalyze and do things differently. And I think A.J. Dillon, who clearly does not want to leave the Green Bay Packers and wants to be here and doesn't want to have to move, got his wife here from Door County, all that stuff, mayor of Door County, A.J. Dillon, everybody loves him. I think this last offseason where he essentially had to take no money to come back here and play and put himself in a very awkward position of they cut him and they don't owe him really anything. And that's why Goody took it, because Goody didn't think there's any chance he'd ever play for it, that he'd go somewhere else and play for more money. He had to do something after he, you know, realized where kind of everything was. And to see the dedication and the turnaround, again, I haven't seen him with my own two eyes yet, so we'll wait and see what it looks like in preseason, because he's going to have to play, I think, in order to keep his job. So we'll see A.J. Dillon in preseason.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.